week's Sunday school lesson, we'll be changing gears. We're in a new Sunday school quarterly. We'll be starting in Isaiah, talking about the prophecy of the birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Come out and join us. It's always a good time of learning about God's Word and fellowship. So we encourage you to be a part of it. Also, last Sunday, we asked you to be much in prayer to about teaching Sunday school. We still use a couple of Sunday school teachers. We'd love to put into the rotation before we can give people an opportunity to swap in and out. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just see me or the pastor, and we'd be happy to allow you to do that. Because it is a blessing to share God's Word. And it's important, especially with our young people. They're not here in many other places, so we want to encourage you to pray about that. If you feel led by God to do that, even if you think you can't do it, but you have that desire, then God will provide a way for you to do it. As far as birthdays go, Angie Johnson and Jackie Williams had a birthday. They're both downstairs with the Patch Group, so we'll have to catch them later. Marie Hobson's with us this morning, so wave at everybody, Marie. She had a birthday. Just don't throw anything this direction. So, anybody else have a birthday this week that we missed? What about an anniversary? Don't have any listed. Anybody have an anniversary? Okay, this time we'll turn it over to Brother Gary to sing happy birthday.
Let's all stand and sing happy birthday to Marie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Good to be in the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
Aren't you glad we serve a God that can do anything?
Amen.
I just absolutely amazed that there's nothing that he can't do. And I just appreciate that. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the Lord. And there's nothing that he's confined that he can't do. Except lie to me. He can't lie to me. He can't sin. He can't do anything wrong. That's pretty good qualities, isn't it? Amen. We serve a mighty God today. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be in this service again. So thankful, Lord, to be in this church with this congregation. So thankful to be in the family of God. So thankful to be a servant of the Almighty God of the universe that can do anything. Lord, that I'm asking you now today that you would just bless this time of being together, that you would anoint from up on high, and you'd touch our dear brother today as he comes and speaks to us. And Father, you would anoint in this service. And Lord, that not only is there nothing you can't do, there's nothing that you don't know. And Lord, I pray that you'll inspect our hearts today, and you'll inspect our emotions and our feelings. And Father, the infirmities and the things that we feel, and God, that you would touch in every area that we need touched today. And truly, when we walk out the doors, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we can go away changed. A greater desire to serve you, a greater desire and be encouraged, Lord, to be part of your mission work. And Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. Thank you, God, we're part of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I tell you, I'm just half here today. My other half's on her bus on her way from New York. So her and her sister went with some other gals, and they went over the weekend to New York City, and they're on their way back. So be much in prayer have a safe trip home. But I miss her. I miss her, especially miss her at home, but I miss her at church. I just couldn't imagine doing the work of a pastor without my wife. I love her so much and appreciate her. You don't have to tell her I said all this. We'll keep that our little secret. Amen. As far as announcements, let's remember our service this evening. Come back and be part of it at 6 o'clock, prayer room at 5:45. Then Tuesday evening is our men's prayer meeting. All that can and will just come and be part of this. I enjoy this time very good. But also Tuesday evening, Miss Jackie woman, they're going to have play practice at 6 o'clock. Up at the Fellowship Hall, remember the play practice. And I want to encourage, this ought to help encourage you to really come and be part of the play practice. In 3 weeks, you're going to put it on. Woo! I looked at that a while ago and I said, no, there's no way. In 3 weeks is the 16th, the day of the play, and Christmas at Marbleton. So, wow. But be much in prayer for the play. And we are so thankful to everyone that's working on that. And then Wednesday night will be our midweek prayer service and Bible study. If you will, come and be part of that. Some of our best services is on Wednesday night. Any other announcements? Is there anything I missed? All right. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Remembering all, we got a big list on a bulletin inside your calendar. Remember all of these. And we'll take any special requests you may have. Remember this?
I got some special requests, and I think a friend of mine the other day, his wife, got leukemia. I know he's been put on prayer list. Her name's Jane Street.
Okay, remember this?
I
Yes. I didn't hear you, sister. Okay. Miss Kathy. Let's do continue to remember our nation and our leaders. Right. All that will, let's come and gather around the altar this morning. All that'll come, let a request be made known unto the Lord. Tim Irvin, would you lead us as we pray this morning?
Thank you.
If our ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing over the offering?
Lord, just thank you here for another day to let us come out and worship you. Thank you for each and every one here, Lord. Lord, I just pray that this offering be used in your name, be uplifted, and bless everyone that's able to give. Sweet and holy name, I'm going to pray.
It came apart. So you might get half of one something and half of another.
I'm in front of Mary Lynn on the inside.
Oh, wait a minute. We got one day that will be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got two pages of it, right?
Well, that could be debatable.
There is coming. Wait.
it's a good thing we're going to have glorified bodies, because if it keeps getting much sweeter, we just won't be able to stand it. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Thank you, sis. I want to introduce you this morning. I'm going to let him tell about himself. I've known Brother Clayton and Sister Tammy for a long time, but I never really got to meet him, talk to him much, and get acquainted with him until a preacher's meeting a few months ago. And I don't know why all of them sat and talked. Me and him just kind of got away and talked. And I left there with, like I knew him my whole life. I enjoyed that time so much and appreciate him so much. I believe it's your all's third missionary work. Second, okay. But I'll let him come and tell you. But won't you be much in prayer for Brother Clayton Hampton? He's a North American Ministries, a tremendous man of God. Would you come, brother, and share it with us?
It is a joy to be with you this morning and a good opportunity to just worship the Lord with you. We enjoyed the Sunday school hour and worship already this morning. And we trust and pray that God will bless as we share now what we're doing. As Brother Tim mentioned, we had known of each other, but got to spend some time at a preacher's fellowship, and I too left rejoicing and just the opportunity to get to know Brother Tim a little better. If we go ahead and get that on, I'm going to just show you a few slides before I get to actually preach. I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing. And my wife told me to do something. I've already forgotten it, so I got to stop. Hopefully you got two of these cards. If you didn't get those, if you lift your hand, she'll be glad to bring you one, a set of those cards. And if not, you can try to grab one on the way out the door. There's some back there on our table. But I want you to have those just so you can kind of understand what we're talking about as we bring it up. Now, picture behind me, this is Team Montana. My wife and I, along with our son Joshua, his wife Kimberly, and our grandchildren, I went totally blank, I wanted to call her Sarah, that's my daughter. Our granddaughter Taylor and our grandson Colton, that's two of our four grandkids. She is 8, he is 6. We'll be moving to Missoula, Montana to plant a Free Will Baptist Church. Now, we're going together as a team. I'll be the lead pastor, he'll be the associate, with the understanding that at some point, he'll become the lead pastor. I don't know what all that means and when all that's going to happen. Our hope and our prayer is that what that means is maybe I will peel off to start another church in the state of Montana. That's our heart's desire. But this morning, my son is in Michigan doing the same kind of thing I'm doing here today. We're both traveling and we're raising money. We have one account. It all goes in the same pot. So whatever he does benefits me. Whatever I do benefits him. We'll go to the next slide. How many of you have been to Montana? Several of you. How many of you have been to Missoula? Well, a couple of, two or three of you. Missoula, as you can see, is on the western side of the state. It's about 20 miles from Idaho. You can see just to the east and a little bit south is Helena. That's the state capital. And if you've never been to Montana, it kind of in the middle there, it begins to change. We're on the western side where the mountains are. On the eastern side, it's mostly plains. They got a lot of high winds and a lot of snow and all that kind of stuff. And not many cities and not a lot of people. They're pretty sparsely populated. Now, Montana is the fourth largest state landmass-wise. Alaska, Texas, California, and then Montana. It's the 44th largest state in terms of population. It's not the most populous place in the world. But people tell me, there ain't no people in Montana. There are, I promise you. There's people out there. There's a lot of cows. Matter of fact, there's 2.5 cows for every one person. So I reckon that means we're going to get to eat a lot of beef. But anyway, if you'll go to the next slide. Just a little bit about Missoula. It was founded in the early 1800s. It was the Lewis and Clark Expedition. Part of the people on that expedition were the first white people there. Of course, there are Native Americans there. Missoula sits in a valley at about 3,200 feet above sea level, surrounded by 5 mountain ranges. It's what's known as the Bitterroot Valley. It is on Mountain Standard Time, which means it's 2 hours earlier there. It is the second largest city in the state. Billings is the largest. They are the only two cities in the state that are over 100,000. Billings is about 5,000 larger than Missoula right now. But Missoula is a rapidly growing area. If you go to the next slide, one of the reasons we chose the city of Missoula is because of the University of Montana is there. Now, we're not there just to minister to college students. We certainly hope we can have a ministry among the college students and have a presence on that campus even to some extent. But because the college is there, it draws people there constantly. And there's a constant influx of people, and that's what we're interested in. More people come in heaven, and more opportunity to impact and influence more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what you're seeing behind me is the middle of campus. As you might figure it out, they're the Montana Grizzlies. And that building in the background is one of the centerpieces of this campus. And then at the very back, that mountain there is called Mount Sentinel, and you see the big white M on there. That's 100 feet by 130 feet. You can also see that there are switchbacks going up there. That's not a cow path. That's a human path. And there are people on that thing all day long, from sun up to sundown. We've been out there twice. And so after we met the first time, what we discovered is everybody talks about hiking the M. And what they mean is they walk up to the M and back down. Now, it's only 3/4 of a mile, which is not that far. But it's a 1,000-foot incline. And we did it the last time we went. My whole family was there. All six of us did it. And them little kids, they were, you know, half a mile ahead of us most of the time. And I made it. There are 13 of those switchbacks, and I know because I counted them and I stopped at every odd one to catch my breath. And I'm certainly thankful to make it. I thought for a while, I told my family, I said, y'all can go back and have the Clayton Hampton Memorial Fund, because I wasn't sure I was going to get there. But anyway, the Lord blessed and we made it, and I hope to be able to do it again. If you go to the next slide, this is why people hike the M, because when you get up there, it is a breathtaking view. That is looking out west over the Bitterroot Valley. That's Interstate 90 to the far right of the screen there, looking toward Idaho. That is the Clark Fork River running through the middle of town. You look right down below that, you see the football stadium. It doesn't look much like Neyland. I think that one seats about 25,000. But we're determined we're going to be Grizzly fans because it's more of a community feel, almost like a high school team. Now, they're a little better than a high school team. They're good. They're just a division, subdivision, bowl subdivision team. So, but that, everybody's involved in that, and we feel like that's a good opportunity again for us. You can take that view to the east. We didn't have a picture of that, but you get a view of what God has placed there in a city that is literally in spiritual darkness. If you go to the next slide, I don't know. I didn't know there was such thing as a huckleberry. Now, I've been told that huckleberries grow around Tennessee, even in this part of the country. But my experience growing up, the only thing I knew about a huckleberry was Huckleberry Hound, that cartoon I watched on television. And so when we made our first trip out there, we found out in Missoula they are nuts about huckleberries. Now, huckleberry, little berry, looks about like a blueberry. Out there, they're bigger than blueberries. They're pretty big. And but, I mean, they do everything huckleberry, ice cream, syrup, pie, cake. I mean, we walked into a shop and my son was there. He said, what do we need to know about huckleberries? And this lady handed us a book, 101 Recipes for Huckleberries. That's a little more than I need to know. But we couldn't bring you any huckleberries, but we want you to go by our table out there. Well, there's three buckets out there, and one of those buckets has huckleberry taffy. Now, I tried huckleberry ice cream. I didn't care for it. But now, these little things are pretty good. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to ruin your teeth or anything like that. But this is a gimmick, and I'll be right up front with you. I want you to eat this, and I want you to think about us. And from here on out, what I'm trying to do is put a subliminal thought in your mind so that when you think of huckleberries, you think of Montana, and you'll think about those of us who are out there working to plant a church, and it'll just remind you to pray for us. That's what we desire. You enjoy as many of these as you want to. Last Sunday night, we set this out before church, and there's an old boy come in, and by the time church started, he'd already had 10 or 12 of these. And so when I got up, I said, now, some of y'all been into my candy, and that's fine, but now you're going to pay for it. And this is, I want you to pay for it, but I want you to pray for it through prayer. Because we need your prayers, and we desire your prayers. Also, in those buckets out there, you'll find these wristbands. Those are not Florida wristbands. They're not Auburn wristbands. They're Team Montana wristbands. And all it says is Team Montana. It has a little emblem of the state. And again, we'd love for you to pick one up. Put it on your wrist. If you got one of those Yetis, it'll fit around your Yeti cup. Use it kind of as a holder. But again, it's simply to get you to remember us, to pray for us. And you know what? You don't have to hit your knees and pray for 20 minutes. If you just say a simple prayer as you drive down the road or as you're getting ready for work or whatever, God, please be with those folks in Montana as they strive to build a church. Now, there's also one other thing, and that's this orange ink pen, and it says Montana Project on it. Now, the only thing that's different is Montana Project. It's the same. It's all about us, but that's our Facebook page. So if you can't think of that, you can look at this ink pen and it says Montana Project. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's not UT Orange, because it kind of is. Because my son picked this out, and he and I are both pretty big UT fans. But anyway, it's not about UT. It's about thinking about and praying for us. And we just desire that you would partner with us by praying for us and lifting us up before the Lord. If you go to the next slide. When you think about Montana, this is what a lot of people think about. It's the outdoors. And we'll be honest with you, that's what they think about. As we visited there a couple of times, we went in and out of shops, and we talked to people. One fellow told us, he said, people in Montana work hard 5 days a week, so when it comes to Saturday and Sunday, they can spend the whole day outside. And they love it. And they do all the things that you see on this slide here. They hunt, they fish, they snow ski, they do all of the outdoor activities, and it's beautiful country. And in a sense, what has happened in Montana, and it's happened in other places in the world as well, but what Paul warns about in Romans chapter 1, where he says they worship the creation more than the creator. Creation has become their God. They love that. I mean, it's beautiful. And I certainly want to admire and honor God for what he's created, but I don't honor God by worshiping the creation. I honor him by worshiping the creator. If you go to the next slide, please. This is what ultimately moved us to believe that this is where God wanted us to be. As we prayed about what God was having us to do and where God wanted us to be, we began to pray about the state of Montana. Now, there are no Free Will Baptist churches in the state of Montana. There has been one. There's about a half a dozen people out there that I think still meet together occasionally, but there's really not an organized church in the state of Montana anymore. That one was in the Billings, which was about 400 miles from where we are. But as we begin to pray and to think about it, we begin to look at demographic information. And you see here, 72% of the people of Missoula have no church affiliation. They're what are called nones, N-O-N-E-S. You ask them about their faith, about their religious affiliation, they say, I don't have any. I don't want any. They look at the church as a bad thing. They said the church is an evil organization that's taking advantage of people and leading people astray. Now, I know there are some bad churches that do those kinds of things. But the body of Christ, the true church, is the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's plan to reach the lost man. And so there is a need for the church. You see that 1% are Baptist, 9% are Catholic, 5% are Mormons. That's down. Now, I was thrilled to know there's only 5% Mormon there, to be honest with you. But even the Catholics across the nation, they average about 20% in any given town. And you say, well, there's 13% that are other Protestant. Within that group of other Protestants includes Buddhist, Hindu, Christian Scientist, all sorts of folks who don't teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I could sum all this up for you in a nutshell, basically about 85 to 90% of this town are lost. Now, I can't give you obviously, because I don't know people's hearts. But what I'm saying is, even the people who are, quote, religious, many of them are lost and without Jesus Christ. You know, I used to do this every Sunday on my way to church. I'd count how many gospel preaching churches do I think I pass on the way to church. I didn't count this morning. I don't count anymore. But most places I go, I count dozens on my way to church. In the city of Missoula, there's a handful. I'm not telling you they're not there, because there's a few there. But they're very few and they're very far between. When we first landed there, our very first time, we got our rental car, we started driving around. I said, I want to find churches. I'm in a city of about 90 to 100,000 people. And we would drive 25, 30, 40 minutes and never see a church. And it blew my mind. I'm from the South. I'm from the Bible Belt. I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Spent 30 years pastoring in Middle Tennessee, and I'm just used to seeing churches. They're not there. And I would tell you, it's not just in Montana. It's the northwest part of our country. It's the northeast part of our country. I believe in and I support world missions. But I want to tell you something, if you didn't already know it, America is in trouble. There is great spiritual darkness in our land. And I'm not against, I believe we should send people overseas, but I also believe we need to be busy evangelizing here in our own backyard. If you go to the next slide, please. This is a place called Karis Park. It's right in the middle of town. Excuse me. If you look kind of between the lines, you can see that white M up on the hill again. You can see that thing from all over town. But this is taken on a Wednesday afternoon, or Wednesday between the hours 11 and 2. It's called Wednesday Out to Lunch. They do it from Memorial Day to Labor Day every week during those times. Wednesday Out to Lunch. businesses downtown, many of them will close. They'll take their wares and they'll go down and set up little booths down in this park. They will have food trucks down there. They'll have live music. It's designed to bring the community together, to just spend time together as a community. They do the same thing on Friday night. It's called Friday Night Live, where they just have, again, entertainment and games and that kind of stuff for families. And it's drawn to bring people together. Now, I'm telling you all that to tell you this. When I get to the state of Montana, I know six people. That's so those five people and myself that were on that first slide. I don't know anybody. The closest person that I know, the closest friend to me, will be in Seattle, about 8 hours away. I don't know anybody between there and Seattle, basically. And he's the closest guy to me. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm just simply saying I got my work cut out for me, because my first job is I've got to go in there and meet people. I've got to get to know some people. And we believe this is where God is giving us an opening. Now, I'm not telling you I'm going to build my church through this. I'm not telling you this is exactly how. I don't know how God's going to do it until I get there. But I know my first task is I've got to be among the people. You know, we can't come into town and not put up a little shingle and said Free Will Baptist Church meets here and expect them to come into us. The Great Commission says go. So we're going to go to them. When the Apostle Paul was on his missionary journeys, every town he went into, the first place he went, in every town, he did it every time he went to the synagogue, because that's where the people gathered. Now, I told you earlier, these people basically worship outdoors. This is their tabernacle. This is where they come. In 2016, there was some kind of event. It could have been a snowboarding event. It could have been, you know, a music event or whatever. Every weekend in 2016, there was an event in this park. In that year, over 1 million people were in that park. Now, most of those people were repeaters. You know, I mean, there's only 100,000 or so in town. So most of them are just coming back again and again. So that's where we believe we need to be, making friends, getting to know people, and beginning to build relationships so we can affect people for Christ. One more slide, I believe, brother. Maybe two more. That's where these cards come in. Please pray with us. Pray for the people of Missoula. Pray for us. Pray that God will send people to go with us. I'm not recruiting people, but we're asking God to send some people to help us. And we've had a couple people who've inquired, and we just want people to consider, would you move to Montana and help us? So pray about that. We're also praying that God will meet our financial needs. If you go to the next slide, brother. One of the things people want to know really was, when are you guys going? When are you going to move? Now, the Lord willing, I like to put it like that because He knows and I don't. But the Lord willing, our plan is to move the 1st of April, into March, 1st of April. We have bought tickets just recently. We're going to be going out there at the end of February and spend a week to try to find a place to live. I'm really not keen on the idea of loading up all my stuff and driving into town and not knowing where I'm going to unload it. So you pray with us about that, please. Pray that God will just provide a place for my son and his family, for us. And so we'll know where we're going to live. And then the Lord willing, we're going to go back in at the end of March or the 1st of April and plan to move in and stay. If you go to the next slide, please. This is the other card you got. It's what it says it is. It's a faith promise card. And I want to start off by telling you this. A faith promise is not what you're promising me. It's an agreement between you and God. You're saying, God, if you'll provide for me, then I want to help involve. I want to get involved in this missions endeavor. And by your grace and by your ability and your providing for me, Lord, I'm going to get involved. Now, there's stuff on there for you to fill out. You can decide how much you want to give. There's pre-printed numbers. You can check one of those boxes, or there's a box that says other. You can give any amount of month, any amount of money a month that you'd like to, from $1 to $1,000 or whatever. But any amount you'd like to give, if you say, you know what, I want to give $10 a month. I want to give $7.50 a month, whatever it may be. But if you check the other box, would you please put a number beside that box? Because if you just put other on there, I don't know what other is, and I don't know. I turn this into our office, and they don't know how to process it. So if you put that on there, please put a number in the other box. Also, there's a couple ways you can do this. You can just give me this card. I will take it to the home missions office. They'll send you a letter, and every month you can mail in your donation if that's the way you'd like to do it. You can give it through your local church, and they can send it in. One of the best things, we're finding a lot of people like to do this, is you can take a check and just write void across it. And whatever amount you put on there, we'll take that in your check. We turn it in. On the 25th of every month, that is automatically deducted from your account and placed into our missions account. But we simply ask you to do whatever God would have you to do. If you feel like you can't support us financially right now, but you want to stay involved, please fill out the bottom part of that, just your name and your address. We'll put you on our mailing list. We'll give you updates through our bi-monthly newsletter. I want to challenge you a little bit more. We're really getting close to where we need to be, but we've still got a little bit of money to raise. I understand that I don't know anybody's financial status except my own, and I'm not trying to get in your business. But I would just like to ask you to, I want to challenge you to think about giving at least $10 a month. I believe most families can afford $10 a month. I don't know what your family does. I just know my family. I know my kids. It is not unusual at all for us to be in McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or someplace like that. I don't even want to tell you how many times, but multiple times during a month. And I don't ever get out of there for less than 10 bucks. And I'm not telling you it's wrong to do that. I do it all the time. But what I'm saying is, would you consider the possibility, you know, if I gave up one trip a month, just one trip a month, to McDonald's, Burger King, or maybe it's Starbucks, whatever it is, I could give $10 a month. That would give me the $10 a month I need to be involved in helping to support a missionary. Again, I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I just want to plant a thought. And would you pray and ask God what he would have you to do? We certainly and we desperately desire and need your prayers, but we also need your financial support. We just ask you to be obedient to God in whatever he speaks to you about. And I've told my son, and we've talked about this, and I tell people this everywhere I go. When I get to Montana, and Lord willing, a year from now, that's where I'm going to be preparing for Christmas out there. I want to have the confidence and the assurance and the knowledge that, you know what, we've visited people, we've challenged people, and today I know there are thousands of people praying for us and praying that God is going to build his church in the city of Missoula. So we are counting on you to be a part of Team Montana. So pick up one of those bracelets, some of that candy, one of those ink pens, and please stand with us. If you can't stand with us financially, you can stand with us strong in prayer. And we need God's prayers, God's people praying for us, because we understand that prayer is the key to God's work being accomplished. Now, I know if you want to put one more slide up, I think there's just our Facebook page. You can look at that. You can also turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. I had a little Genesis on the brain after Sunday school, but that was good. And let me share with you here for the next few minutes, again, a familiar story. You all know the story of Moses. He was born at a time where his parents were in Egyptian bondage, and the Pharaoh was beginning to get worried that the Hebrews were beginning to outnumber the Egyptians, so he wanted all the baby boys thrown in the river. And his mother made a little basket and put him in the bulrushes, and he was found by Pharaoh's daughter and ultimately raised in Pharaoh's court. And at about the age of 40, the writer of Hebrews tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. And he rather identified himself with the people of God. He already had a sense of God's calling on his life. He went out, he saw a Hebrew being beaten by an Egyptian. He looked around, he killed the guy, he buried him in the sand. The next day he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he's trying to break it up. And he said, what are you going to do, kill one of us? And he realized he was in trouble. And so shortly thereafter, Pharaoh found out that he'd done it, and he ran away, and he ran to the land of Midian. And there in Midian, he met his future wife while she was watering her sheep. He helped her. And then ultimately he met his father-in-law, and he begins to keep his father-in-law's sheep. And that's where we are in Exodus chapter 3. We pick it up, and now Moses has actually been keeping his father-in-law's sheep for about 40 years right now. And it tells us something there at the end of chapter 21, chapter 2 and verse 21, that Moses was content to dwell with the man. He's speaking of his father-in-law. It's good to feel content. I enjoy a feeling of contentment, but it's not a good thing when we feel content and we're not where God wants us to be. And there's a danger of contentment outside of the will of God. And even as God's people, sometimes we get comfortable. We get comfortable when we're not where God wants us to be. It doesn't mean we're lost or we're going to go to hell if we die. It simply means we're just not exactly doing what God wants us to do. And that's kind of where Moses was. And so in chapter 3, in verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led that flock to the backside of the desert, and it came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And if you skip down to verse 5, Moses, God speaks to Moses, he says, draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And if you skip again, there's this conversation God is going on here, speaking with Moses, but I want to get to the heart of it, and that's in verse 10. And God speaks and God says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, Moses has been content. And all of a sudden, God appears to him in a burning bush and he says, you need to come with me. You're going down to Egypt to lead my people out of Egyptian bondage. In all of our lives, God does his work sometimes and God calls us out of our comfort zone to do some things that we're not real sure we want to do, that we're not real comfortable with doing. And God spoke to Moses. He said, come on, we're going to Egypt. Now, all of us face challenges. It can be sickness. It can be financial problems. It can be marital problems. It can be other personal relationships. There's all kinds of challenges in our lives that God puts before us. And the question is not, are we going to face those challenges? The question is, how are we going to face those challenges? And I want to encourage you this morning, because when the challenges come in life and when God allows us to be challenged, there are some precious promises that we need to grasp. And when God spoke to Moses, here's Moses. If you look back at your scripture there in verse 11, Moses' initial reaction is this: who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, are you serious? You want me to do that? Lord, I can't do that. That's what he's saying. God, Lord, I don't know. God, I can't do it. Well, I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but I certainly have. Amen. On multiple occasions. And to be bluntly honest with you, when God began to deal with us about going to Montana, I said, me, Lord, are you sure? Lord, do you know how old I am? Lord, Lord, I know there's people smarter, there's people younger, there's people better. I gave Lord all the excuses I could come up with. Well, I love how the Lord answered. In verse 12, God spoke back to Moses. He said, who am I? And God answers him like this: certainly, I will be with thee. That's all you need to know, Moses. I'm going to be with you. You're not going to Egypt alone. I will be with you. You know what? I don't care what obstacle or what challenge you're going through in life. I don't mean to say I don't care, but I mean it doesn't matter what it is. You are always accompanied by God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, you go into the uttermost parts of the world, and lo, I am with you always. Not just when it's easy, not just when it's convenient, not when it's a good day, but always. When people despise you, when people mistreat you, I am with you. Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how high the hill is you got to climb. You're not climbing it alone. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus was about to ascend back into heaven. His disciples are torn up. They're worried about it. And Jesus says this: I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit in our lives today if we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. The promise of his presence to provide and to comfort Moses is as real today as it was the day God spoke it to Moses. God has promised us again and again and again and again throughout Scripture. He does not desire that we face anything in this life alone. And he says, I'll be with you always. So look, I know the challenges are coming, but the first precious promise that we need to grasp from God is this: you're not doing it alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. I'm with you. Well, look, you think, okay, Moses be gung-ho. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. Nah, not Moses, not yet. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What am I going to say? Lord, I don't have any authority. Peter, I'm going to be down there trying to lead these people, and they're going to say, who do you think you are? You know, I thought about that, and I thought, people are going to look at me and say, who do you think you are going to Montana? You think you know something? I'm going to tell you, I don't. But Moses says, Lord, what am I going to do? And again, in verse 17, God gives the answer to Moses. God spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Moses, you're not going to actually, literally deliver the people. You're my boots on the ground. You're my mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you right here, right now, I know this beyond any shadow of a doubt. I am not going to build a church. God is. You know what? You are not going to lick cancer. You are not going to solve your financial problems. You are not going to bring healing to your relationships problem, but God can. I will give it. He says, I will be the deliverer. Paul wrote to a young preacher in the New Testament by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God gives us, not that, hey, I'm He-Man. I can go back here. I can pick up a car. Not that kind of power. But God has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of understanding that the Spirit of God is within us. Moses was overwhelmed, and the Lord told him, don't you worry about it. You just trust me, and I'll provide all the authority and all the power that's necessary. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, again, the Lord Jesus has been given His great commission to His disciple, and He said this, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit's already on you. All you got to do is claim it. All you got to do is understand it and trust God for the power that you need to face life. I am reminded that the Apostle Paul, who had gone through a lot of different trials and tribulations, he'd been beaten, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been snake bit. This dude, you know, we talk about limity snickets. You know, that means everything goes wrong. Paul had had some of those kind of days, but you know what Paul said? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know what? So can you. I understand life is hard sometimes, but guess what? You have the power to overcome life because of the power within you through the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus told us, and this is a verse again that I've been reminded of and I've claimed specifically in the last few months, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. He said, you're Peter. And upon the confession of your faith, that's what I'm going to build my church on. But I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what? Nothing we do in this life do we do in our power and in our ability. You know, I know you may be a skilled laborer. You may be a carpenter, an electrician, a plumber, a mechanic, or whatever. You may have great physical skills, but guess what? You don't do it in your power. God gave you the power to do that. God gave you the mindset. Maybe you're one of these electronic geeks, you know, that you know how a computer works inside and out. You can tear it apart, put it back together, make it better. Guess what? It's not your power. It's God's power. All of us operate and serve in the power of God. I am reminded that Paul again wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. The truth is that there is nothing in this life that we can handle in our own strength and our own power. It is only through the power of God that we can accomplish anything in life. And listen, we have a promise to claim today. God has not only promised us His presence, He has promised us His power. And we can rely on His power. Well, there's one final promise. Now, you think, now, Moses, I'm ready to go. Yeah, I got the presence of God, the power of God. I'm excited. Not yet. He's not excited. But God sees Moses. God knows how he is, just like God knows us. And so in verse 21, God just jumps from that right into the next thing. And He tells this, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will come to pass that when you go, you will not go out empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of that which sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. God not only promises us His power and His presence, He promises us His provisions. You know what? Children of Israel have been in slavery for 430 years. How much does a slave own? Maybe the clothes on their back. But you know what? God knows you're going to need some stuff when you get out there in the wilderness. So God says, you go to those persons who've been your taskmasters and the ladies in the house, and you go tell them, I need your best clothes, and I need all your gold jewelry, and I need your silver jewelry, and I need your pots and pans. I need everything you got in the house. Just let me have it. Now you think, well, how in the world are they going? Of course, you know how God was already working and with the death of the firstborn son. And so it tells us right there in that verse that even the kids had to carry it. They had so much stuff, they couldn't carry it all. Now, I wonder sometimes maybe some of that griping and grumbling is, Lord, I sure wish we didn't have to carry all these heavy gold and silver bracelets we're carrying. What do we need gold and silver for? We're in the middle of the desert. But you know what? God knew they needed it. Because just a few weeks down the road, they're out in the middle of the wilderness, and God speaks to Moses and Aaron. He says, I want you to build a tabernacle to worship me in. And he was very specific about the dimensions, about what it was to be made out of, about the kind of cups and instruments that would be made inside, the gold and the silver and the brass and everything that would be inside. And where in the world, I mean, you know, there wasn't a Home Depot close by to go get that stuff. Where are they going to get it? God's already provided it. And guess where it came from? The Egyptians. What a mighty God we serve. He knows exactly. He not only knows what I need right now, he knows what I need tomorrow and next week and next month and if I'm going to need anything. And he says, I'll provide it. Again, I'm reminded of when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he's telling about how God had always met his needs in all of his missionary journeys. And then he tells them this, and my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God will, he'll take care of your needs because you're his children too. And you know what I like? It's according to his riches and glory. I don't know, I'm not going to ask if any of you folks went out Black Friday. If you did, my sympathies. But you know, one of the things, I used to do that some and enjoyed it a little bit sometimes. But I remember, you know, you get all these things in the newspaper and on the internet. This is going to be, you know, you can get this 98-inch television for $99. Well, that's just too good to be true. I'm going to have to go down there and get me one of those. Well, when you get there, well, we only had two, sorry. You know what? God is not through. God did not say, well, you know, I'm through healing cancer in East Tennessee. Or that Marbleton community, I've had so many prayers up there the last week, I'm not going to answer any more prayers today. You never get to the bottom of God's grace. You never get to the bottom of God's provision. He never runs low on anything. He always has the ability and the wherewithal to meet all of our needs because his riches and glory have no end. Again and again and again, we see the promises of God throughout Scripture. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he tells us this, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If the Lord loved us enough to give his son to die for us, you think he doesn't care about your daily needs? That doesn't even make sense. I don't know what challenges you may be facing in your life today. I don't know what you may have gone through. But I want to tell you this. I hope you get this. I hope you grasp this. And I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But I've discovered in my own life, I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded that God has promised me his presence every day of my life. He has promised me his power. He has promised me his provision. And it's not because I'm special, it's because he's special. It's because he loved me when I was unworthy. It's because he cares about me. And it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated, if you live in the East or the West, it doesn't matter any of those. It only matters that you put your faith and your confidence and your trust in him. He told Moses a little later, he had a rod, he said, throw it down. It became a snake and he picked it back up. And you know what the point, I think the point of all that was this, is this. I mean, that's just a common everyday shepherd's rod. Every shepherd in the world had one. But the point of that to me was this. It doesn't matter what you've got in your hand. I can use you, and I will be with you, and I will give you power, and I will provide for you if you'll walk with me and trust me. Because what did Moses do with that rod? He parted the Red Sea. He struck a rock, and water came forth from a rock. You know what? Here's what I take from that. If God can do that with a shepherd rod, God can take what I've got in my life, and God can use me for his glory and for his honor. If I will put my faith in him and I will trust in his presence and his power and his provision. And I want to tell you folks, there is no limit on what you can do for God if you will walk with the confidence of his presence and his power and his provision for you. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I want us to close just a time of invitation. I don't know how God may have spoken to your heart this morning. But I know this, every one of us faces challenges. And sometimes in the midst of our challenges, we forget that God's with us. And we forget that God's power is available, or we don't think it is. And we forget that God will provide. And he may not provide exactly like I want him to, but he will provide. because he said he would. Perhaps this morning you're struggling with something, a hardship, a difficulty, or maybe a challenge that you just need to trust God on. And you need to reach out to God and say, Lord, I believe in your presence and your power and your provision in my life. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and renew it and say, God, I do trust you. And I'm looking to you for your presence and your power in my life. God's speaking to your heart. All I ask is that you just be obedient to him. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great, great love with which you loved us. Thank you for the presence of God in our lives every day and your power that enables us to walk with you and to live for you and to strive to be what you want us to be. Thank you, God, for providing for our every need. Now, God, help us to live in a constant awareness of that. And God, I pray right now that you challenge us. And Lord, if there's someone here that just needs to come and renew that confidence in you, to reach out to you for your power and your provision for their lives. And God, help each of us to do what we need to do today. Have your will in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us?
Page 486. 486.
As we sing, just a verse of invitation to him. If God is speaking to your heart, there's a need. Would you come? Would you just come and let him meet that need in your life today?
You know, that song I really like. That song describes someone that's sold out to the
Amen.
Lord. That is a total committed person that has turned everything in their life over to the Lord. What a tremendous message we heard to our brother this morning. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes in my life that I'll give God part of it, but I don't give him all of it. There's a little part that I say I can handle this part. It's not big enough for me to really bring it to you, Lord. I'm ashamed to even bring something this small to you. You ever feel like that? And with the message the brother preached, as we sing another verse, if there's something that you're holding back and something that you say, I've got this, and you've dealt with it so long and it still just keep getting bigger and bigger and worse, won't you come this morning and just let God have it?
Amen.
Won't you trust him? Will you come this morning?
And and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you excited about the missionary work in Montana or not? I tell you, that got me excited to hearing about the work what a tremendous, tremendous message. And I thank the Lord for the calling upon this family. And we want to receive an offering this morning. I'm going to ask our ushers, if you would, to come. And we want to receive an offering, support, and pray about just open your heart during this time of invitation and allow God to just use you this morning. Sometimes you may have recently got a raise. This may be the reason. And just like Brother Clayton said, when he calls you into something, he's going to provide for it. And so he blessed the Egyptians so that the Israelites could have it. Wow, that's amazing. Brother Gary, don't you come back up here? Let's sing 58 while they receive the offering. And Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing over the offering?
Lord, we just pray that you be with this offering, Lord. We know that it's going to be used, that your name be uplifted. Lord, we just pray you touch each and every one's heart. Just let them do what would be right, Lord. Just thank you again for all you do. And thank you here for what they're going to do for you. In your name we pray.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, if that don't get you excited, praise his holy name. Come on back this evening and the Lord's will, we'll pick back up. We'll talk about how many of you like pearls? You ladies, most of you like pearls. We want to talk about the well, I'm not bringing any. I'm just going to talk about one. Amen. But come back and we'll talk about, as we're going through the parables, we'll talk about these pearls tonight. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, if you want to read it after a while. But we'll go and spend a little time. I want to talk, talk about the pearl a little bit. And so I'm excited about it. Come on back and we'll share what God's got for us tonight. And I'm going to ask Brother Clayton and Sister Tammy to go back. And ask you to, these cards, pray over them. And let's do, keep them in mind and pray for them and pray for this work. There's people who will go to heaven because of this family. I want to be part of that, don't you? Amen. I want to be part of that. It's all hearts and minds clear. Brother Richard, would you dismiss us?